All right, we are on Kuf Amud Aleph. We are six lines down. Chol Yom HaKippurim Lios B'Shabbos. In the Mishnah, we talked about the question of eating the Lechem HaPanim, how you eat the bread from Shabbos if Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide. And then we also mentioned, by the way, the separate issue really, it only has to do with eating karbanos on Yom Kippur and Shabbos. We said that if Yom Kippur turns out to be Friday, so you have a problem in terms of cooking the seir chatos, the goat chatos from Yom Kippur. Clearly you're not eating it that day. You're not eating it on Yom Kippur. You want to eat it on Shabbos in order that it shouldn't become pasul. It's a chatos. You have a limited amount of time that you can eat it. But you can't cook it. So the Mishnah said that the Bavliim would eat it when it was raw, mipnei shadaitan yafeh, which I explained in the positive sense, that they're people who aren't very picky. They're broad-minded people, daitan yafeh, das rechava we talk about often, a person having a broad mind that doesn't get disturbed by much. So the Gemara then says, you should know, this wasn't a compliment. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, 6-7 lines down on Kuf Amud Aleph. Rabba Bar Bar Chana says, citing Rabbi Yochanan, lo Bavliim heim. He says, they're actually not even talking about Babylonians. Ela Achsandriim heim. They're actually Alexandrian Jews. And we told Shisonim as Bavliim, Koronosim al Shem Bavliim, but there was no love lost between the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, Rashi adds in the words, Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. There was no love lost between the sages of Israel and the Babylonians, and what they were doing was insulting them, saying, yeah, they're using the nice phrase, Daitan Yafe, but what they really mean is, these people are gluttons. That's the way that Rashi explains it. Tosfos explains why they disliked them so much. He offers two possibilities. One possibility is because they didn't come back for the second base. Oh, he only offers one, that they didn't come back for the second base Hamikdash. That's what Tosfos quotes Reish Lakish on. Correct. Now, obviously, none of the Tanoim. Well, not none of the Tanoim, but the later Tanoim certainly weren't. Well, no, none of the Tanoim were around when the Bavliim didn't come back for the second base Hamikdash. But it was a general insult. The same way that New Yorkers insult people from New Jersey. It's natural. Look at these Babylonians. They're still living in Bavel. They should be back in Eretz Yisrael. Tanya Nami Hachi, a Bryce supports this idea. Rabbi Yosi Omer lo Bavliim heim ela Achsandriim heim. Umitoch shesanim es Bavliim koren osam al shem Bavliim. They call them Babylonians, even though they're Alexandrians. To say they're like these Babylonians who they wanted to insult. Omer lo Rabbi Yehuda tenuach dat chasheinach to dati. So Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate that, because Rabbi Yehuda's family came from Bavel, and he was upset that people would be saying this about his ancestors, that they were such gluttons. Tosus also notes that there was nothing wrong with eating it raw if this was actually Shabbos after Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur was Friday and this was Shabbos, this is the only way you're keeping your carbon from going pasul. So then he wasn't, that wouldn't be a bad thing. The thing is that they used to do it every year, regardless of when Yom Kippur was. They would do this, and under the cover of showing love for the mitzvah, but it looked very bad for them to be doing this.
How could they do it halachically?
Right, so we addressed that yesterday, the issue of Malicha, and the Tosis Yom Tov offered us a couple of answers. One answer being that because you're not cooking it, the blood remains in the Evarim, and therefore is not Aser. It's only the blood that leaves the Evar that they have a problem with. And then the second explanation was that you could actually do the Malicha on Yom Kippur, because Ibud Ochlim, they must have mentioned Shabbos though, come to think of it, but in any case, Ibud Ochlim would only be a Derabanan, and will be permitted for the sake of consuming the Karban. That's that's the idea expressed there. Take a look at the Tosfos Yom Tov on that Mishnah. He goes into it. Okay. Mishnah now says, see there as halachim b'Shabbos ves habazichin la'achar Shabbos v'ikdur as habazichin b'Shabbos. Okay, we're discussing now how long the bread and the lavona stay on the table. And remember the rule. The rule is that the bread and the lavona must be, that's the one that has the table on the page in the wrong verses. Okay. The bread and the lavona have to stay on the shulchan for 7 days. That's your rule. And Rashi explains that which was there from Shabbos must be removed the following Shabbos. So we already know, because we've discussed, that if you put the bread out late, you put it out on Sunday, you put it out on Wednesday, it stays more than 7 days. It goes through Shabbos until the following Shabbos. However, if it's already been on for a Shabbos, once it hits a Shabbos, it must be removed the following Shabbos. That's the rule that Rashi introduces for us here. And then the next rule is to remember that you need to have Lavona, you need to have the frankincense with the bread. So those rules, that they have to be on for 7 days, that once they've been on for a Shabbos, they must be removed the following Shabbos, and that you need to have Lavona with the bread, dictate the next these three cases that the Mishnah is going to bring. So first of all, if you put the bread on Seder as Halachem b'Shabbos, you put the bread on Shabbos, however, you didn't get the Lavona on. You put the frankincense on only after Shabbos. And then on the ensuing Shabbos, you took the bread off the table, and you took the frankincense off the table, and you put the frankincense, Lavona, on the Mizbeach. Guess what? Puzzle. It's no good. As Rashi says, it's Mechusar Zman. It didn't go through a complete cycle because the Lavona was on the table only for a maximum of 6 days. And therefore, since it's possible, no laws of pigul apply, no laws of noser apply, no laws of karbonos that are tame apply if you would try to eat it, because it's possible. It's just no good. That's case number one. Case number two. See, there is halachem bez habazichin b'Shabbos. You put the bread on the table, you put the lavona on the table on Shabbos, and it went through the next Shabbos. And then, after Shabbos was over, you took the frankincense and you put it on the Mizbeach. So now it's been on too long? Psula. No good, because once you've been on for Shabbos, you have to remove the following Shabbos. And again, yeah, because it doesn't have to be so. It just means sometime after Shabbos. Anytime, as long as you missed Shabbos, you're already stuck.
So it can't be talking about then?
What do you mean?
I think that's the next case.
No, it's not.
That could be the next case, yeah. The next case also says
that. Oh, I see what you're looking at. Yeah, this case is where it's actually there too long. This is a too long case. Vein chayavan alein mishum pigul nosi v'tamei. Sorry. On the second case or on the third case? Oh, so you want to say that this case is actually talking about there? Yeah. Okay. So this case is where it's too short. Okay. So the second case then is where it was put on Shabbos, and then you did it too short. You did Lachar Shabbos after that Shabbos. Okay. Thank you. The third case is Seder as Halachem Bez Habazichin Lachar Shabbos. You put them on after Shabbos. Vehikter as Habazichin B'Shabbos, and then the immediately ensuing Shabbos you put them on. That was the case that I would have said was the too short case. But you're right. That's where Rashi takes it. Lachar Shabbos Lamachar. Okay. So Psula. So in that case, it is no good. Some take out the word psula here. Kate said yase. I guess they take out the word psula because it's redundant. Now that we already know what we said in the second case, so Kate said yase. What should he do with this? Yanichena l'Shabbos haba. He should leave it for the following week. The Rashi explains yamod shvuayim al hashochan. It should stay on the table for 2 weeks. Dekeven delo nizdar b'Shabbos, since it wasn't put out on Shabbos. Ein shochan bekacho ad hashabbos. The table won't give a kedusha until Shabbos comes. And therefore there is no lina issue. As the Mishnah concludes, it can be on the table for many days, that's fine. That's okay.
That's why you don't say psula.
Right, you have a takana, and also because it really is an extension of the preceding line. Because the previous line already said puzzle, and only then now we're just getting the tikkun, we're getting the correction.
Well, Rashi said the mitzvah of the lina.
Correct.
No psula at all.
Right.
No psula kicks in.
Correct. So assuming you follow your ketzad, that's our Mishnah. The Gemara wants to talk about whether a kli sharis in general, the shulchan or any other kli, can give kedusha to a karban at the wrong time. And it's going to give it based on the case in which the bread or the lavona was placed on the shulchan after Shabbos. But in order to get there, we need to go through a couple of things first. So Tanan Hasam, Mishnah says, Amar Lehamamuna, this is the Seder Hayom for either the Karban Tamid or, as it happens, Yom Kippur. Amar Lehamamuna, the appointed person would say, Tosfos notes, the Machlokas as to whether this is the Sgan Kohen Gadol, that's Rashi's view, or whether this is some other appointee. But he would say, Tse'u ur'u imigia zman shchita. In the morning he would say, go out and see if the time for shchita has arrived. Imigia, if the time has arrived, haroa omer barkoi. The person who saw it would say, barkoi, light. Matasya ben Shmuel, who was appointed over this, according to Rashi, Omer, he would say, Heyer p'nei kolam mizrach ad shebechevron. He would say that the eastern sky is lit up all the way to Chevron. And Rashi notes from the Yerushalmi that the point of mentioning Chevron was for Yom Kippur's sake, to mention those who are buried in Maariv HaMachpelah, that their marriage should be on our behalf on Yom Kippur. So he would say, yeah, all the way to Chevron. V'hu Omer, or he would ask, is it so? V'hu Omer hein? And he would say, yes. Why did they have to actually do this? What was the concern? One time the moon's light came up, and they thought that it was already the light of the sun. This is very odd, because we know the cycle of the moon, and the moon doesn't rise at the end of the night at the time of Yom Kippur. But I guess this doesn't have to be Yom Kippur, but they do mention it's the Kohen Gadol, so I don't know. They shachted the carbon tamid, they took it out to the Beis HaSreifa because it was possible, we do Kohen Gadol, the Beis HaTvila, and they had to go bring the Kohen Gadol into the mikvah because the carbon was possible. It had been shachted at the wrong time. The Gemara there in Yuma discusses, well, why does that lead to him having to go to mikvah? But the point for us is you traced up the carbon this way. Well, sorry?
The switch is closed.
I'll take a look at the rest of the line here. The Zeh Kalal Hayah B'Mikdash. This was the rule in the Mikdash. Kol HaMesech Ezraglav Tohen Tevila V'Chlamat Elmayim Tohen Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. The question is what that had to do with this. Again, see Yuma for that. But if someone excreted, he had to go to Mikvah. If someone would just urinate, then he would have to do Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, washing hands and feet. The point for us is that the carbon that was shechted at night inappropriately is going to have to be burned. It becomes pasul. And Tani Avua de Rabbi Oven, Rabbi Oven's father says, Lo zu bilvad, not only this, meaning the tamid that was shechted at night, elafilu, but even the following two cases. Olas ha'ov shenimlaka balayla, if a bird ola had its malika done at night, it's pasul. And umircha shenikmetza balayla, if you did the kamitza of a mincha, not the haptara, you just did the kamitza at night, teitzel beis hasreifa, you're now going to have to burn it. It becomes disqualified. End of the quote from Avua de Rabbi Oven. So now the Gemara asks, Bishlama olas ha'ov mishum delo efshir la'ahadura. I get it regarding the bird ola, because there's nothing you can do now. It's already shechted. There's no correction here. The ela mincha, but as far as the mincha is concerned, efshir demeyadar komets leduchtei v'komets b'yamama. Why can't you just stick the komets back into the kli that's holding the mincha, and then do your kmitza again by day? So Hutani especially could not. You're telling me that a Klisharis should not be able to be Mekadesh, to sanctify at the wrong time. So Hutani lava hu amar la, Klisharis Mekadesh and Shalob Ismana. And he answered that it's because the Klisharis communicates Kedusha, even if it was used at the wrong time, as Rashi says on Mekadeshin, about five to six lines up in the thin lines. Vizesha Kamatz Vinas and Kometz Bekli, this person did the Kemitza and put it into a Kli. Avagav Delayla Lazman Kedushu, night is not the time for Kedusha, for sanctifying it. Nonetheless, Mekadesh like Kli. The Kli gives it Kedusha. Veshuvi efshir la'arvo b'shirayim v'lachzor v'likmotz. You can't mix it up again in the shirayim and then do a kemitza. Shekvarin is Kadesh, zeh l'shem kometz. It's already been declared as a kometz. The unclear whether Rashi's objection is that it'll get mixed in with the shirayim and then you take the wrong thing out, or whether he's simply saying your new act of kemitza is irrelevant because it's already been nikmas. I tend to think of the former because he mentions Nisari, but I can't prove that. So the point for us is that this mincha cannot be put back in its original kli, and we think it's because it already received kedusha, even though that was the wrong time. So the Gemara challenges that and says, is that really true? Meisvei, but I learned the following. Kol hakarev bayom kadosh bayom. That which is supposed to be brought by day can only gain its kedusha if put in a kli sharis during the day. Balayla, that which is supposed to be done at night, kadosh balayla, can only gain its kedusha at night. Rashi says balayla would be minchas nesachim as an example. Tosfos disagrees, not disagrees, but he says some add the menorah would be something that has to be done at night. But he's bothered because the word hakrava should not apply then. It says kalakarim, that which is brought as a carbon. You may recall back on Daf Peites, we talked about whether the oil that goes in the menorah needs sanctification. And one idea there was, well, it's not called hakrava. So if you take the view there that it's not hakrava, like Tosa said over there, then it makes sense to ask the question here and say, well, this can't be talking about menorah because it's not a carbon. But in any case, for our purposes, that which is done at night cannot gain its kedusha during the day. That which is done by day can't gain its kedusha at night. Bein bayom uvein balayla. If it's ambidextrous, if it can be done 24 hours a day, then kadosh bein bayom bein balayla. Then it gains its kedusha at any point during the day. End of quote. But the point for us is kol akariv bayom kadosh bayom. That which is brought by day gains its kedusha by day bayom in balayla lo. Only by day, not at night. So how could you tell me that a kli sharis can communicate kedusha shalom bismano at the wrong time? So the Gemara answers, Eino kadosh li karev, ava kadosh li pasel. It becomes kadosh enough to become pasel. That it has. You're right. It doesn't have kedusha like that. It doesn't have kedusha such that it could be brought on the mizbeach. That's the idea. But the Gemara is not done because that's not an adequate response. Mostly for Rabbi Zera challenges from our discussion. Now we find out why this is brought here in our Gemara. We learned, see there as halachem v'as habazichin achar Shabbos. If they set up the bread on the table, they set up the bazichin on the table, the frankincense on the table, after Shabbos was over. V'hikter as habazichin b'Shabbos, and they put the bazichin on the table after Shabbos. It was really an or, not an and. Psula, it's no good. Kate's, I'm sorry, the guess, that was achar Shabbos means Sunday. That's what I had thought, but we said no. This is the direct quote of that case that I got in trouble with in the Mishnah.
This is the last case, no. This is the last case.
This is the last.
I'm sorry, this is not that case. You did it after Shabbos, and the ensuing Shabbos you put it up. Thank you. Right, so you put it on the wrong day, and it stayed on too short, but the point is you put it on the wrong day, and it gained Kedusha. Kate said, Yasa, what do? Yanichena l'Shabbos haba. You're supposed to leave it till the following Shabbos. Because even if it's on the table for an extended period of time, that's all right. End of quote. So the Isal Gedaitoch Klisharis Mekadshin Shalom Bismanon. If you think that the Klisharis is actually going to give the bread its kedusha, even though it's the wrong time, Likdash Velifsol. So let it gain its kedusha, and then it should become pasul by staying on too long. It's now there more than 7 days. So I don't understand. He says, if you believe in the idea that the Klisharis is Mekadesh Shalom Bismano, then if the bread goes on the table on Sunday, then it should become pasul once it's there 7 days. It can't be brought on Shabbos because it wasn't there 7 days. But come next Sunday, it's been on too long. Correct. So now I have a problem. My problem isn't whether Klisharis can do it Shalom Bismano or not. My problem is, how do I justify this business about the mincha that was taken at night? In other words, I was very happy in our Mishnah. The answer to our question in our Mishnah, when our Mishnah said you can leave it on for more than 7 days in these circumstances, the reason was because, you know what, it went on at the wrong time, so it didn't gain Kedusha. It doesn't gain Kedusha until the following Shabbos, and then you leave it on for another 7 days, and you're fine. That was good. Our problem is that if that's really true, that a kli sharis does not give it kedusha at the wrong time, then if you did the mincha at night, you should just stick it back in, and then do it again by day. That's my problem. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's not there. That was taken off and eaten at the proper time. It was just vacant. We didn't get the tamid that we talked about yesterday. So Amar Rabba. So Rabba says, one line up from the bottom, Man de kamosiv shaber kamosiv. He says, you're right. That's a really good question. However, Avud Rabbi Oven Nami Masnisa Ka'amar, Rabbi Oven's father, who said that the mincha that had the kamitza done at night can't be restored. You can't just put the kamitz back in. It really did gain some kedusha. Masnisa Ka'amar. He was quoting a bona fide brisa. So you can't just say, well, he must have been wrong. The answer must be a second approach. Kasavar Laila Ein Mechusar Zman. The answer is that at the wrong time, the Klisharis will not give it Kedusha. Bread put on or frankincense put on after Shabbos does not gain Kedusha. However, something done at night is not called Mechusar Zman. That's not called lacking in time. We had that discussion all over the place in the Gemara regarding Dicho issues, regarding Mitzvah Sasesha Zman Grama issues, regarding the case of the woman who had a Nefel on the night of the 80th, and the whole discussion about whether she has to bring a new carbon or not. Are the original 80 considered to have been lost? We have this discussion all over, or haven't been ended, I should say. We have this discussion all over the Gemara. Night is not called Mechusar Zman. Hayamim Mechusar Zman. However, that doesn't entirely help us. The guy says that resolves that problem. That resolves your problem in terms of the carbon that you now brought, the comets that you now did during the nighttime, and you say, fine, it became Kodesh. But sof, in the end, Kimati Lelia Debe Shimshi, Lifdesh Velifsol, let's look at your bread. Your bread went on the table at the wrong time. It went on the wrong table on Monday. It went on the wrong table on the table on Sunday, whatever it is. But at night, meaning the first Friday night, it should gain Kiddusha, Likdush, it should become Kodesh, Velissel, and now it should be Pasul. On the Friday night, meaning the Friday night of the second Shabbos, not the Friday night of the first Shabbos, the Friday night of the second Shabbos, Rashi notes. So in other words, you put it on the table on Sunday. It reaches Shabbos. Shabbos, it gains Kiddusha. That's great. Next Shabbos, Friday night, we say, well, it's been on too long now. Now, it's been on the table more than 7 days, 8 to 14 days. It's been sitting on, 8 to 13 days, it's been sitting on the table. That's no good. It's supposed to be 7. So Amar Rava says, yeah, you know, we left out a detail. Bishakadam Vasilik or Vasilko. The answer is, you actually took it off of the table, Benashmashos, of the first Shabbos. So what actually happened is, you put it on the table because you wanted the table to be occupied, a tamid. So you put it on the table on Sunday. Then, came Friday afternoon, they blew the shofar 6 times, you pulled it off of the table, and then you put it back on the table Shabbos morning. That was your real presentation. That's one answer. Amar Zudra v'itema Rav Ashi give a second answer. Amar afilu tema b'shaloki then v'skada masilek. Even if you didn't remove it early, kevan de sidro shaloki mitzvaso nasa kemisha sidro akov. There's our monkey back. We've discussed monkeys off and on. Haven't you always wanted a monkey? He says since you put it on inappropriately, you did it on the wrong day. Therefore, it's as though a monkey had stuck it on the table, and therefore the shulchan will not be mekadesh it ever. Rashi says, "Ve'ein shulchan mekacho afilu bismano." Therefore, it doesn't gain its kedusha that way, even at the right time. It sounds like you're gonna have to redo it on Shabbos. On the first Shabbos, yeah. So in other words, it's not that I'm removing it, but I do a new presentation on Shabbos. And as opposed to the Kometz case, you did your kemitza at night. That's called a proper kemitza, and therefore it'll actually be effective. And therefore, you'll have to. And therefore, it'll be puzzle in the end. Okay, so that wraps up that mission. Again, our point is bread and lavona must be on the table for 7 days, and must start with a Shabbos. That's our core idea. New Mishnah says, "Shtei alechem ne'achalos." This will answer the question about the time limit on how long you can eat the bread, which we talked about the other day. "Shtei alechem ne'achalos ein pachos mishnayim v'lo yoser al shlosha." The shtei alechem must be eaten after no fewer than 2 days, and not after no more than 3 days. Ketzad, how so? Nefos me erev yom tov. You bake it erev yom tov. Ne'achalos b'yom tov l'shnayim. So then you eat it on yom tov. That's the second day. Chol Yom Tov Lios Achara Shabbos. However, if Yom Tov Shavuos is a Sunday, then that means that they will have been baked on Friday, because you're not baking them on Shabbos. So they were baked on Friday. They go through Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, and you eat them on Sunday. Nachalos Lishlosha. That's the third day from when they were baked. Lechem Hapanim. On the other hand, the showbread for Shabbos. Ein nechal pachos mitisha, that's the box edition of it, otherwise nechal ein, doesn't matter. Pachos mitisha, it can't be any fewer than 9 days. The reason is because you bake it on Friday. So therefore, the following Shabbos is going to be the 9th day. Velo yoser al achadasar, and no more than 11 days. Ketzad, how so? Nefam erev Shabbos v'nechal b'Shabbos l'tisha. You baked it on Friday, and then it stayed through the following Shabbos. That's 9. Chol yom tov lios erev Shabbos nechal asara. If yom tov turns out to be Friday, so then you baked it on Thursday, and therefore it'll be 10 days. Shnei yamim tovim shal Rosh Hashanah nechal achadasar. If Thursday and Friday were Rosh Hashanah, so then you baked it on Wednesday, and then nechal achadasar. You eat it on 11. That's actually not true. Rashi says. Rashi says it's really going to be 12. Because how does your calendar work? If Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, Friday, then when's Yom Kippur? The following Shabbos. You're not eating it the following Shabbos on day 11. You're eating it Motzai Shabbos on day 12. That's Rashi's point. So Rashi says, the answer is that since we said by Kachim, the night follows the day, so Motzei Shabbos is part of the 11th day. That's Rashi. Tosfos says, no, that's not the way our calendars work. Not today, but the way our calendars worked back then. You have two possibilities. Either the Edom showed up in time on Thursday for you to know that Thursday is Rosh Hashanah, right? In which case, there's only one day Rosh Hashanah. In which case, you're going to bake them on Friday. Because Friday won't be, it'll be a one-day Rosh Hashanah that year. And even though they baked it in advance on Wednesday, planning that they would end up using it on the Wednesday one, they want fresh bread, so they'll rebake on Friday, Tosfos says. Or the Edom don't show up in time on Thursday, in which case you baked it and you're using your Wednesday one. However, then you count Yom Kippur, you count your year from Friday. And therefore, Yom Kippur will not be the following Shabbos. Yom Kippur will actually end up being Sunday. And then you can eat on Shabbos. It also says this actually isn't a problem. That's a tremendous chiddush. I never, ever dreamed of that. That if your Edom showed up late on Thursday, you're actually going to call Aleph Tishrei Friday. But it's true, because then Thursday becomes Lamed Elul. That's effectively what happens. It's a remarkable thing, though, it says this point out. In any case, that's its own discussion. Sorry?
Also, the minhag of Eretz Yisrael, after they put a calendar in effect, was one day Rosh Hashanah, until it got changed.
Right, but he's talking about where you're actually baking this and doing that in the Mikdash. That's before you have a fixed calendar. Yeah. And he says the baking does not override Shabbos or Yom Tov, which is clear from the previous discussion here in our Mishnah. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Asgan Doches Yom Tov Veino Doches Yom Tzom. He says it overrides Yom Tov. It just doesn't override Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur is Friday, you won't bake. So he's disagreeing with everything that we've said. Baking does override Yom Tov, and therefore all the numbers that we've just given don't follow Rabbi Shimon Ben Asgan. Okay. Gemara, Amar Ravina, or Rav Huna, depending on your edition. L'divrei ha'omer nedarim u'nedavos ain kraven b'yom tov. According to the view that you don't bring your personal karbanos that you vowed on Yom Tov, lo tema mid'oraisa mechza chazuv rabbanu degazru shelo yishet. You might think that that's actually a derabbanon, that mid'oraisa you could bring your personal karbanos on Yom Tov, but mid'rabbanon we don't, because of a concern that if you tell people they can bring them on Yom Tov, you know what's going to happen? They're going to wait all year long to bring them on the regel. And that's a problem. It runs into Baal Ta'achir concerns. You're delaying your malacha for Yom Tov. We don't want you to do that. So therefore, we don't want that. So therefore, we say, don't bring them on Yom Tov. And now people will actually bring them earlier. That's what you might have thought. He says, but don't say that that's a derabbanan. They don't say it's a derabbanan. Elam deraisa nami lo chazav. The truth is, even biblically, you can't. Why? Dashtei alechem dechovas hayomu v'leka lememer shema yishe. Because the shtei alechem is an obligation of the day itself. It's not neder nedava. And there is no concern of shema yishe. There's no concern of you might delay it because you can only do it that day. Uketani eino docha lovas haShabbos lovas hayom tov lovas yom tov. And yet the Tanakhama says it doesn't override Shabbos. It doesn't override Yom Tov. So that proves, whether it's a neder nedava or not is actually irrelevant to this. The point is that proves that it's a deoraisa thing. It's not about lest you delay. It's a general rule of not overriding on Shabbos and Yom Tov. In fact, it actually, this goes back to Russell Levy's Paratara from Shavuos, it actually suggests that you could argue that this is like a neder nedava, because they're equating the two in this discussion. In any case, the point is, indeed, we don't follow Bishum Ben Askan, you don't bake this on Yom Tov, and by the way, also on Yom Kippur. Hadron Lach Shtei Alechem, brand new Parak, Parak HaMenachos. HaMenachos V'Nesachem Shenitme'u, Ad Shelo Kitshu B'Kli Yesh Lehem Pidyon. We're dealing here with a redemption, and what we say is that if your Mincha or your Nesachem are Tameh, you can redeem them. Rashi says for Kedushas Damim, you can redeem their value. It's not the entity itself doesn't have physical kedusha before it's been dedicated to Kli Sharis. It just has maybe my personal declaration that I'm going to bring it. So my kedushas damim that I gave it can be redeemed before it's been in a Kli Sharis. Misha kitshu b'kli ein lam pidyon. Once they've been put into the Kli Sharis, that's it. Now they have kedushas haguf. They have physical kedusha, not just kedusha of their value, and therefore they can't be redeemed. That's number one. Number two. Ha'ofos v'ha'etzim v'alavona u'klei shares. Birds wood for the Mizbeach, frankincense, as well as klisharis, all these items, mishanitmu elem pidyon, they can't be redeemed once they become tameh, shlo nemar pidyon ele bebehema, because the rule of redeeming kedushas haguf, physical kedusha, which is what all of these items have, only applies regarding behema, regarding animals, based on psukim. That's the idea. Correct, because that's talking about Kedushas Dhamma. That's why I stressed it. It's not about financial Kedusha, not physical Kedusha. It's only the physical Kedusha that can't be removed. That's the idea. If you take a look on the sheet that I gave out, you find the rules for Menachos and for animals, which we're going to see here in the Gemara, but I think it's a good thing to look at. Rules for Menachos, you have two rules. Before Kedusha and the Klisharis, it's redeemable. Whether it's Tahor or Tameh doesn't matter. After Kedusha and the Klisharis, it's not redeemable. Tahor or Tameh doesn't actually matter. Okay? It's simply pre-klisharis, post-klisharis is all I care about. Whereas when you're dealing with animals, we say that before it gets the kedusha with a klisharis for an animal, we mean shechita. So before it gets shechted, you can redeem it if it has a mum. And after it's been shechted, you can't redeem it. Mum or no mum is irrelevant. There's no redemption after kedusha with a klisharis. We're going to see it in the Gemara, but I think knowing those rules may help. Omer Shmuel says, "V'afilu hein tahorin et niftin." When you say you can redeem the mincha, the nesach that became tameh, you don't really mean only if it became tameh. The truth is, you can redeem it also if it's tahor. My time, why? Because until they go into the klisharis, all they have is financial kedusha. And everyone agrees you can redeem financial kedusha. It's only the value of it that's kodesh. You can substitute. Then why did our Mishnah say nitmeu if it became tameh? Who I didn't offer up the low nitmeu. The truth is, it implies even if it didn't become tameh. Va'idi the kaboy misna seifa mishikitchu bekli elam pidyon. It's only that at the end of the Mishnah you want to say once it goes into the klisharis it can't be redeemed. And there we want to stress even if it's tameh. Da'afilu nitmeu namilo. Even if it's tameh, and you'll say there's a lacking in its kedusha, therefore you should be able to redeem it. No, once it goes in the kli you can't. Tananami reisha shen nitmeu adshelo kitchu bekli. So therefore the Rashi mentioned where it became Tameh before going into the Kli. But the truth of the matter is, Tumah is irrelevant. When you're dealing with anything that has only financial Kedusha, then it's redeemable regardless of Tumah and Tahara. And once it has physical Kedusha, the Menachos are going to follow the same rule as everything else, not redeemable. That's the idea. So the Gemara says Pshita or Hanami Pshita if you add in the box words. Well, that's obvious too. Once it goes into the Kli, it can't be redeemed. It has Kedusha Saguf. Kedusha Saguf Ninu. Itzrich. No, I needed to say that. Why? Because I might have made the following equation. Salka daita chamina. I would have thought to say, ho elu baal mum igri tameh. A blemished animal is called tameh. The Gemara is going to prove that on the next page. So tameh nami ke baal mum tameh. I would have said, one that actually is tameh is treated just like a blemished animal, just like a baal mum. Ve'avagav de kadosh kedusha zaguf. Even though the kedusha is a physical kedusha in this case, ki nafil be mum mif. Mifrik, it can still be redeemed. Sahani nami lifrok. So I would have said the tamei one also can be redeemed. Just like I can redeem a balmum, so too I can redeem a tamei one. That's what I would have thought. Karmash malan, so it's teaching me. Delav ki hai tamei kaye rachmana la balmum. That's a different kind of tamei. When we call a balmum tamei, that's a different breed of tamei. Demiklishares lo ashkechon demifrik. Because once it's gained its kedusha and a klishares, you are not able to redeem it, not by the menachas, and also not by the baal mum. That's the idea. Ubaal mum hecha ikri tameh. Where is the baal mum called tameh? What's your source for that? Disanya, it's the following braisa. The pasuk says v'im kol behemat tameah. Korban lashem .. If any behemah tameah, from which you may not bring a carbon, was dedicated, etc. So, and it's talking about pidyon, it's talking about redemption. So he says, "Bebale mumin sheniftin akasim medaber." That pasuk is talking about bale mumin when it says tamei. Ata omer bebale mumin sheniftu aweinu elav behema tamei mamash. How do you know it's talking about a balmum? Maybe it means behema tamei, meaning a non-kosher species of animal. Not kishu omer vein bebehema hatamei o fadav er kecha. No, because the pasuk there by redemption mention specifically behemah tameya. Hare behemah tameya amura. That already covered the non-kosher species. Hamani mekayim v'imkol behemah tameya. Then what's this pasuk doing? The balei mumin sheniftu akasiv medaber. It's talking about the balei mumin that they may be redeemed. It means the balei mumin, even though it says tameh. Yochol yipadu al mum over. Continuing that brisa, just to finish the brisa, I may think that it could be redeemed for a mum over, a temporary mum. Tamalomar shalo yakruvu mimena kavan lashem. Mishena kreva lashem kol ikar yatsezu shena kreva yomu kreva lamachari. No, the pasuk says that which you can't bring for a karban. That which you can't bring at all, as opposed to that which could be brought tomorrow if it only has a temporary mum. So the point from here is, once again, that a mincha may be redeemed before it enters the klisharis, not afterwards. An animal may be redeemed if it's blemished before it meets its klisharis, which is the knife that does the shechita, as we saw a couple of weeks ago. Once it gains its kedusha from the klisharis, it's not redeemable, even if it has a mum. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha,